Yes,
and I hope Jason Light has a moment like that next week in the opening round of the draft.
Beautiful. We are going to talk Buccaneers. We are going to talk NFL draft. I'm Rock. Riley in for the other Joe. Ira is here. My man Lee is here. The Ira Kaufman podcast is always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Hey, right now, Bill Curry Ford is offering employee pricing to everyone plus incentives. That's right. You pay what we pay. Employee pricing right now for all. Bill Curry Ford is a third-generation family business, and that means a lot. Bill Curry Ford GM Sean Sullivan has the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket. All you got to do is ask for Sean, and you can find him at BillCurryFord.com.
And Rock, you can talk a little Bucks with him while you're shopping.
Always, right?
Always.
Now, you will be impressed from top to bottom at Bill Curry Ford, whether it's a service, a mobile service, at your home, body of work, used vehicles, leases, and more. Don't worry. Drive Curry. It's BillCurryFord.com. And we also want to thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. That is Florida'sElitereStoration.com. We'll talk a little bit more about them later, Sage. Gentlemen.
Can you believe Lee, not only not watching the Masters, but not interested in golf at all?
No.
What are you doing? Trying to listen to a Ben Bredesen interview from Boise, Idaho or something, Lee? What are you doing?
And I've got a bunch of college football games I have saved.
Rob's cracking up.
I have a bunch of college football games I have saved. And there was NASCAR on, although I'm not a big fan of the short tracks. I will say this about golf, and I'm sincere when I say this. Anybody ever catches me watching golf, they need to put a bullet in my head.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they do, because that means two things if I'm watching golf. That means I'm an invalid. I'm an invalid, and I can't use a remote.
So we should put you in a home.
No, put a bullet in my head. Put me on misery. Or I'm senile and don't know any better. Either way, put
now
a bullet in my head.
Now, wait a minute. Rock, now, wait a minute. Lee, what about that tournament where all the athletes show up? The football players, and where is that, Pebble Beach, Rock?
No, that is out in Reno. That is Lake Tahoe. That is Lake Tahoe.
Lee could watch that.
Yeah, he could. He could. He's not going to do it. Listen, we are going to talk here. We are right now. We are here at the. We're basically at the NFL draft. Here we go. We all know that the Buccaneers, really, honestly, to get to the next level, have got to improve their defense. It's coaching. It's players. It's all that. We've heard from Jason Light. We've heard from Todd Bowles. You got to every year still can't forget about one side of the ball. But I'm going to start with you, Sage, and I want to start right off the bat with the safety position in this draft. Need and interest. In your mind right now, here we are getting real close to the draft. How big is the need to get a safety in this draft?
Need 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10. And the only reason I don't make it 9 out of a 10 to couple with Winfield is they're thinking of moving Tyke Smith to full-time safety. They're thinking about it. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful. Lee, we've seen cross-training before. MJ Stewart's always in the back of my mind. It doesn't always work. So I give it about a 7 from a need basis. But, Lee, from a prospect basis, I think it's 8 or 9. I think there's some good safeties to be had in this draft. Most of them have a little bit of questions, maybe about physical surgeries and things like that. But as far as athleticism and height, and Bowles can work some magic with his safeties. I think it's a good draft for safeties.
When you said it didn't work, your mind didn't work, or what was that? It didn't work.
My mind doesn't work very often, Lee, but it worked watching golf, and I'm gonna keep reminding you about that Masters, Lee.
Well, very quickly, I can't respect a quote unquote sport where the equipment manager works up more of a sweat than the quote-unquote athlete can do it. I'm going to be one tick ahead of you there, Ira. I'm going to say 8 out of 10. I love Antoine Winfield.
And you don't have any questions about him. You really don't.
What happened last year? Something was weird about
that. He got beat up, Lee. He got beat up.
He got hurt. But he had a terrible year. I've written this. I even mentioned to you before we started recording that after he got robbed of a forced fumble at home against Atlanta, because the NFL/Fox are too cheap to have a goal line camera when every freaking college football game has a goal line camera. After that play, can you remember a play that he made? I can't.
Give him a mulligan, and I don't think he was healthy all year.
I do want to give him a mulligan. But Bowles is adamant. Oh, he was hurt. If he was that hurt, why was he on the field? That tells me they had nobody to put in.
They thought a 75% Winfield was better than the alternative.
As the youngins say, I'm shook by the way Winfield played last year. I know he was hurt, and I hope that wasn't him.
I don't think it was the contract. I don't think it was
complacency. No, I'm not going there. No. I totally agree with you on that. Man, that was jarring how bad he was last year. So, I hope it was an accident. I hope it was a mulligan, a fluke. But with Jordan Whitehead gone.
And you're saying it's a real knee.
I think it's 8. I would say 8 out of 10. You said 7 out of 10. I think it was 8 out of 10. I think the Bucks ought to be looking at this Malachi from Georgia. I think they ought to be looking at Watson.
Malachi Starks?
Yes. Yeah. About 4 years senior. Yeah, 4 years senior, 4 year starter. Really good as a freshman. He might have been All-American as a freshman.
Somebody's pumping very high on him, Lee.
Yeah,
high on him.
Watts from Notre Dame. There's a bunch of guys out there. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You can make an argument. Every position on the Bucks defense is worthy of drafting at number 19. And so I'm wide open when it comes to that.
I heard Malachi Starks on a show today. I was blown away. It was like NIL money, the transferring, this and that.
Did he sound mature?
Oh, he was unbelievable, guys. You know what he was saying? He's like, the way he looks at it is, ball out, win games. Help your team win games, play your best, and all of that will come true. You'll make a ton of money in the NFL. You'll make money.
That sounds
don't
like
look.
What coaches
no,
tell
and
players.
I really like that, Lee. And what do Bowles and Jason Light said? The reason why they've been successful lately is getting the right type of player.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I also saw an interview with Starks. It wasn't the one Rock was talking about. It was with Taylor Biscotti. Hint, hint. So there was another reason to watch.
I hear you.
He came across very mature, very polished.
You won't
very
watch the
thoughtful.
Masters, but you'll watch Taylor Biscotti.
Hell yeah!
Okay, all right.
I'm a man, Ira. I'm 40. And by the way, since he played for Georgia, Bowles knows no college team like he knows Georgia because his son
That's
used to
right.
play there.
That's right.
So I'm sure he's very familiar with Malachi.
Rock. Didn't they draft Tyke Smith to be? To be a slot corner?
That's what I was going to ask
you
guys.
So he has 1 year and you're ready to move him? I don't understand.
I'm not. Do you trust Christian Isian to start at safety? Do you trust Tyke Smith to move to safety and put Isian in the nickel? What about that? What do you think, Sage?
Well, I like Isian, but Lee corrected me last week. He said, slow down on Isian. He's a quality backup. He's a quality backup. That might be what he is. I think they need a corner, Rock. I absolutely need a corner because you know me. I've been a Johnny One Note on this. I'm not a Jamel Dean fan.
Understood.
Rock. I'm just not.
He's not healthy. 6 years.
Steve just put up the poll. Lee, you saw it, and somebody might say, "Well, wait a minute. The top number was we want him back." But you know what? The top number was 45%. That means less than half the people.
Yeah, they either
weren't sure or it was a no. Well, we're in the majority on Jamel Dean.
Now, I'm not a passing rating guy. Not at all. And people are like, well, what? You know, Joe Buck loves. Can Joe Buck call an NFL game without the first 30 seconds saying passer rating? Shut up. That drives me nuts. Anyway.
That's like something out of the 80s, passer rating.
It's a BS stat. And for people who are driving off the road or punching their windshield, how can I say that? Do yourself a favor. Go Google all-time passer rating stats. Do it. And you look at the quarterbacks, and you tell me that's legit.
You might have a Neil O'Donoghue up there in the top 10.
You go look at the top 30 quarterbacks, you tell me that's a legitimate stat.
Yeah.
You're going to have Joe Flacco over Roger Staubach? Are you kidding me? It's a BS stat. But having said that, I will admit that a passer rating kind of gives you a general idea. May not be specific, but it gives you a general idea. And I'm almost being a hypocrite saying this, but this is just food for thought. What cornerback in the NFC South has the best passer rating as far as holding a quarterback to a low passer rating?
It better not be Jamel Dean.
It is Jamel Dean.
Good one. All right.
That's not the PFF tribe, is it?
No. This is an NFL. This is not none of those clowns.
All right.
Let's move on. I read this on Joe Buck's Fan. I don't know which Joe wrote this, but it was about SEC speed with cornerbacks.
That's our man
safeties
right here, Lee.
Or edges. Now, look, we know Jason Light has done a great job with offensive linemen from smaller schools. So that was Lee that wrote that. I'll ask you, Sage. Do you believe when it comes to the corners or the safeties that you stay away, at least early in the draft, from small schools. It's there is something to be said about SEC DBs yes. going up against
yeah,
these
I think
wide
that's
receivers.
True. I think that's true as opposed to offensive linemen. I'm not taking a corner from Hobart, Lee. I'm not doing it.
Or Central Michigan.
And, you know, SEC is great competition. Good quarterbacks.
Great skill positions.
Great skill positions. I'm taking a wide receiver.
Yes.
From the SEC.
That's exactly where
I'm
coming from.
And I'm taking corners.
Yeah, that's where I was coming from, too. Not, I mean, the Big Ten has some really good teams, and Notre Dame has a decent schedule, but week in and week out, you're prime for the NFL. If you're a ball player, if you're a baller, and you're coming out of the SEC, you're battle-tested.
You don't think that Will Johnson could fall to the Bucs at 19, do you?
There's some questions, legitimate questions, about his health. And if you're going to draft corner, do you really want to bring a guy in that's injury prone? Because you're probably going, you're looking to replace a guy that's injury prone. So basically, you're
that's
starting
your big
from
knock on Jamel Dean.
Yeah,
right? he's not available.
And that's where I ran out of rope with Jamel Dean. I don't think, like a lot of people do, that he's a terrible corner. My issue with Jamel Dean is he can't stay on the field.
That's a good one. Now here's another one, and I read this on Joe Buck's Fan about Todd Bowles. He's not into going to some of these pro days. You get a lot of head coaches that go. He said, in this day and age, I can get the film. I'm more interested in sitting down and getting to know a guy. How does he carry himself? I get that in the interviews at the Combine, these 30 visits. I actually like that. And I was listening to Mark Schlereth. I don't know if you guys saw this clip the other day. And he was going off on these pro days, these... Okay, a guy can run fast. You know what that means? He can run fast. A guy can bench press. You know what that means? He can bench press. Anthony Richardson was an unbelievable athlete. But does that translate to playing on the NFL level? I was all for that. How do you feel about that? And Bowles really not going and attending in person these pro days,
Sage? I'm 100% with you, Rock. And I think Lee's going to join us. You know what Bowles is doing? He's interested in the interview, and he's interested in the tape. And I think that's the proper way to do it. And I don't think Light puts that much stock into pro days. I think Light puts stock into the Senior Bowl, Lee.
Yes.
You've talked about that.
The practices.
Practices, because it's competition. Pro days is not competition, Lee. Just like the Combine. They're throwing. There's nobody in their face. They're running down the field.
No
corner.
Exactly.
There's no Jamel Dean terrorizing these receivers, Lee. So I don't mind that Bowles philosophy, Lee. I don't mind it.
I support him with that as well. I like what Stink said, Rock. It just shows you can run fast. You know, you're not running in shorts and a T-shirt on the football field. You're going to have a guy going up against you. That just shows you can run from point A to point B at a certain speed, doesn't? Rondi Barber couldn't run a 40. How'd he turn out? I mean, there's all kinds of examples.
I'll give you another example. Bucky Irving. Is not a speedster.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think he ran a 4.55, something like that. Meanwhile, he's developed into already my favorite Buccaneer. My favorite Buccaneer.
Wow.
And
over Tristan Wirfs?
My favorite Buccaneer because he put the jolt, he put the juice into this offense last year.
More than
Bucky Irving.
More than Tristan Wirfs.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Bucky Irving. I love to see the ball in that guy's hands, and I better see more of it in 2025.
Well, you know, when I did talk to Liam Cohen, I think Steve wrote about it. I got him off to the side, Sage.
Didn't I come by and almost wreck that interview over there,
That was
Rock?
Okay, though. That was okay. You're all like, right. What about the media there in Jacksonville? What about the media? But no. Sage, he told me his favorite player, the best player that he's ever coached. He was with the Rams, all the Bucky Irving. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, no.
He coached Cooper Kupp over there.
He said, Bucky Irving is the best player that he has ever coached. I'm not kidding you. No, I am not kidding you.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
And he was saying that he texts Baker Mayfield once a week. He also
is still?
Yep. Yeah. He still is in contact with Luke Goedeke. And the only thing that I will tell you is that he told me, and again, he told me some stuff off mic. He's like, I'm the villain. He's like, everyone loves Canales. I'm the villain. I'm a coach's son. They changed when they blew out their general manager. Shad Khan called me up. I want to give you a second interview. He goes, I love coaching Baker. I loved all those guys on the offensive line. I love Bucky. I love Mike. I love Godwin.
You're
but the opportunity to be a head coach, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And did Shad tell you, don't tell the Bucky? Yeah. So what was he supposed to do? But again, I just wanted to bring that out about Bucky Irving.
Those bad feelings, they're not going to linger, Lee. You know,
if the Bucks win,
bygones will be bygones.
If the Bucks win, that's ancient history.
You know, I think Cone's going to have a tough job in Jacksonville. I just do. I think they need a lot.
Yeah, I tend to think you're
and I'm
right.
And I'm not totally sold on Trevor Lawrence, Lee. I'm
well,
not.
It's clear that he got the job for Trevor Lawrence That's no doubt about that. You were talking about the 40 times earlier. And just FYI for people, like I wrote a story this morning where I mocked the combine because it's indoor track practice. You know, I can't get into it.
Yep.
It's not football. And I know there's a market for it and people get off on it. Go ahead and Google top 40 times combine history. If you recognize half the names, you're a better man than I am.
And the jump, how high you can jump, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Well, FYI, real quick, about pro days, which was the beginning of this topic. I really think pro days are little more than content for NFL Network. Because you notice they go from place to place to place. Otherwise, they'd be showing top 10 mascots or something. Maybe you guys are like me. I love the draft. Absolutely love the draft. I remember vividly Joel Buschbaum. But right about now, I am so mocked out. Everything is, you're just regurgitating the same stuff. This draft needs to be 2 weeks sooner.
Well, Lee, having said that, next week we're going to sit down with Sean Sullivan.
Oh, that'll
be fun.
He's going to
give us our first round mock draft. And Sean Sullivan, who attended the combine, Rock, attended the combine, had a ball, and got a lot of information. He takes it very seriously. And, you know, the past few years, he hasn't been far off on his buck picks. He knows what's going on. Doesn't mean he gets intel from Jason Light. He doesn't. By the way, Rock, I need you to weigh in on this. Lee and I have been going back and forth on this. I said last week in terms of who's got the clout in the Buck secret war room
clout.
Or whatever.
Right.
Light's the general manager. Light makes the call. There's no question about it. He's going to get the credit. He's going to get the blame. But if it's a defensive player, Rock, Todd Bowles is going to have a strong element here.
Oh, I agree. Because
Light's not going to draft anybody on defense that Bowles isn't enamored with. He's not.
That would be dumb for Jason Light to do that. Todd Bowles knows defense. Regardless of what Buccaneer fans or the majority of fans feel, he does know defense. And I mentioned this. When we went to that owner's meeting and seeing other NFL guys, NFL coaches, players, national media, the respect that they have for Todd Bowles. And they all say the same thing. He's a mastermind with the defense, so he's got the respect. So, no, I believe when it comes down to it. We also found out, Lee, that Bruce Arians is not involved at all. Now, I believe he was still under contract, unless that changed by the Glazers. But when I asked last year, Bruce Arians, he would watch tape of the quarterbacks and he would give that to Jason Light and his staff just in case. They got to know, even though they weren't in the market for a quarterback. And when I asked, is he still looking at quarterback? No, he's in a good place.
He gives them projects, Rock. Projects. What's the project, Lee? Eighth hole, par three, 133 yards. Wasn't Arians in the war room a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, after he retired.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, he was at practices. He was doing stuff at practice. He was coaching guys up. Right about the time he got his hand slapped, or you know, that hassle he got with Lattimore on the sideline. Right about that time, didn't he have a health issue? And then he stepped away and he didn't do anything.
He did have a health issue.
And he also said he kind of felt bad that, you know, he didn't want Todd Bowles to think he was getting in his way. So he kind of stepped. It was a combination of things. But doesn't he go golfing with a bunch of ex-coaches? Like, there's a bunch of college coaches up there.
I bet you they're wrong.
There's a bunch of them.
By the way, you know what I'm getting a kick out of? And Lee watching this, and Steve's watching it all the time. Freaking Gruden's all over YouTube. He's getting boxes in the mail every day from Western Kentucky. What's going on, Rock?
He just went to the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And
he went up there?
Sage, he's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
And the one guy, Big Cat, was with him. And Big Cat said, it was like a kid. You had to keep pulling him away. He would go over to this coach. He went to a freshman running back. How you lining up when I'm in this position? Like, he really still wants to coach. Bad, Sage. You know him. You think he's going to get back?
6 months ago.
I know.
He was sprung from a cage or something. I mean, you know,
that's what Barstool does for you.
His lawsuit's still going on, Lee, so that's not it. It's not over. It's got to be the Barstool element.
It is. Can you do him a favor, Ira? I know periodically you drop in on
him. I believe I can do him a favor.
Can you bring him a utility knife? And he admitted he sliced himself already. Will you get him a utility knife?
He's got the QB camp going too, Russ.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. All right, listen, I want to ask you guys about Josh Grizzard, something a little bit different, all right? But before we do that, Sage, tell all of our listeners about Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselitestoration.com.
I know this group very well, Rock. And unlike a lot of sponsorships for podcasts where the podcast partners have no idea really about the quality of work of the sponsorship. That's not the case here. They have done work, Florida's Elite Restoration, for Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford.com. Unfortunately, you know, Sean's home on the beach twice has been ravaged by storm, and he had to call Florida's Elite Restoration. And every conversation I've ever had with Sean, how did it go? What are they like? Do you recommend them? Rave reviews. Rave. So it's not like we don't know what we're talking about. Josh has hired some great people. Their business is booming for a reason.
Unfortunately.
They're very good. And you call them before you call your insurance company, because Josh used to work on the insurance side of the industry. So that's a big advantage for you. He knows both sides of the equation.
Just to reinforce about what good of a job Josh and his crew do. Sean Sullivan is a man of means. He could go anywhere and get work done.
The guys at Burns every week.
Yeah, exactly. He's a man of means. He could pick anybody. He went back to the people that originally did the job.
A second time.
Impressed.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's great.
So that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. We had one of the hurricanes. We had water coming up underneath our floor in the living room. And my wife and, oh, my God, what do we do?
Well,
and
this is going to be a cost us a fortune.
I called Florida's Elite Restoration, and their phone was ringing off the hook. They had somebody come out in the morning. He started going, going, what is your insurance? Here's the deal. Here's what you got to do. And then I did what he said. And then that company was giving me a little bit of a runaround, called Florida's Elite Restoration again. They came and squared everything away. So I got to tell you, man, they are the best. And
how's the communication?
Beautiful. It was number one. It was number one. And when you're going through that, that's what you want.
That
you
is
want
a trauma, right?
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, boys. Now, here we go. I know you guys.
I got something for you, Rob. Right, when you asked me this question, I got something.
Well, how about this? Now,
all right.
I also talked to Liam Cohen about Josh Grizzard. And yes, he's a very smart guy. There's no doubt about it.
Worked together closely last year.
Worked together closely. But you just never know of a guy who has never called plays before. Now, yes, it did work for Dave Canales. Doesn't mean it's always going to work. But look, they went in-house. I think that was the best move because you really don't have to change everything.
Baker signed off on it.
Baker did sign off on that. But I was thinking this. I'm going to ask Lee and you this, Sage. It's been this is now year number three. What happens? What do you think is the percentage? End of the year, Buccaneers are 500. Buccaneers do not make the playoffs. The defense is about pretty much what they were this year, and the offense is still not missing a beat. Running attack, Baker's having a good year, and now Josh Grizzard is getting interviews. Could you see Josh Grizzard making him the head coach so you don't have to look again for another offensive coordinator? What if that happens?
I'll let Lee take it first.
Well, I don't want to divulge inside information, but I'll just say that I'll just put it like this. People at One Buck Palace don't share the common dislike of Todd Bowles or the frustration of Todd Bowles. A lot of fans have frustration with him. I do not, just from talking to people and hearing them talk about Bowles, I do not get any sense whatsoever that they're remotely frustrated, remotely upset. Would they want to win a Super Bowl? Yeah, but I mean, we all saw when Joel Glazer spoke, and I can't remember the last time I saw a guy so relaxed like that. And I think a lot of things would have to happen.
Rock says, what if they take a step back?
I think it would have to be a collapse. I think Bowles has enough, and in the mind of the power brokers at One Buck, I think Todd Bowles has enough street cred built up that he's not going to get booted for one bad year.
Now, Rock, here.
That's my assessment.
Here's that. Rock, here's what I'll say about Grizzard.
Okay.
Personal story.
Gotcha.
I would say for about the last 7 or 8 years, you know, there's different magazines that do team NFL previews. I've been working for Lindy's. It's a long-time magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Lindy's.
Howard
Balzer is the editor.
Yep.
And he's got 32 writers for 32 teams. And I've been the Bucks writer for about 7 or 8 years. I like to do it. I don't get an overwhelming amount of money. It's a small amount. But I do it because it makes me do the research into every position group, and it helps me. So anyway, he wants the magazine to hit the stands in June. He wants the copy a couple of days after the draft. So you have, you know, you got to add the draft picks in there. So he goes, just to give us a head start with me and the publisher, there's a category called On the Hot Seat. There's one other category. Anyway, can you give us the names that you're going to use? Just the names. We don't need the copy yet. Well, I'm looking at it on the hot seat. They prefer it to be a player. I'm looking at all the players. Well, you could say Antoine Winfield or whatever, but I don't think so. So I was looking around. You know who I came up with? Josh Grizzard. Josh Grizzard.
Whoa.
That's my pick. And, Lee, it's all new for him. It's all new.
Mm-hmm.
Never called a play. Neither did Canales, right, when he had the job. Now, I don't want to be cruel here, but I wouldn't call Canales' one season in Tampa a smashing success. They averaged 20 points a game. Cone averaged 29 and a half. Now they had Bucky Irving. And
yes.
Canales didn't. Mm-hmm. Big difference. But, Lee, Grizzard's got big shoes to fill here with Cone. Big.
Canales.
And I think the only thing that can stop this Buck offense, other than a major injury to Mayfield or something like that, is if the job's too big for Grizzard. I think the hot seat for Grizzard, I think it's apropos.
Boy, that's I don't know if they'd bounce him after 1 year unless it's terrible. Now, by the way, when you asked about bowls, unless the Bucks go 3-14, I can't see them.
You know what they do? You know what they would do, Lee? Not give him an extension.
No, true. Correct.
Want to play out?
Yeah, I think it would have to be a complete abomination of a season for them to move on from Bowles.
They got to make a decision about an extension for Bowles pretty soon.
Real quick about Canales and Cone. The reason why both those guys were hired as head coaches wasn't so much their mastery of an offense, wasn't so much their ability to work with other people. No, it was one reason only.
Mayfield?
Quarterbacks. Both teams had a major investment, and young quarterbacks are trying to salvage their careers. Canales showed he could get Mayfield back on his feet. Same with Cone. Both those guys. That's why they
decided Mayfield's our franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And we need that guy. Now, Rock, I'll ask you. Can we say with certainty that Grizzard's going to be a smashing success?
No.
No?
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, Mike Evans told me at the Pro Bowl that when they would go into the meetings for third down, he was in charge of third down. He said we were the most prepared he had ever been prepared.
They led the league, right?
They led the league. So he goes, when we got out there in the field, we were so prepared. That's why we were so good. But, and then I said to Baker Mayfield, I go, again, you're going to get another guy that hasn't called plays. He goes, I'm getting kind of used to it. And he kind of, you know, he made it a little bit of a laugh. And I know Bowles is going to try to help him a little bit more. But we'll see. Offensively, what do they need in your mind? What do you think you're going to see in this draft? What do you think, Sage, they need to improve on offense now?
A receiver to stretch the field,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think they have one.
No.
That's gotten the job done.
Unless you're banking on Palmer.
I can't bank
rise
on
from
Palmer.
The dead. Yeah.
I can't bank on Palmer right now. And you always say we don't know about Godwin, even though you're tilting towards he's gonna be okay.
Yeah, you know.
But he doesn't stretch the field.
He doesn't. Yeah. But, to your point about Godwin, you know, Light said it was anybody else but Godwin, I might have some concerns. And that's kind of where I am. We know about Godwin. But still, until he's out there.
And I'll throw an asterisk in there for Lee.
An asterisk.
Lee, if they pick a receiver, even in the second round, I want the guy to have some return ability. Give me some return ability.
Yeah. That's why I like Igbuka. Because he's a return guy, too.
That can win you a game, Rock. It can win you a game.
And I know. And I heard you about the rule change and from the 35.
I think there's
going to
be a lot more kickoffs.
Yeah.
A lot more kickoff returns. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what's new this week since you guys did the Ira Kaufman podcast last week. The New Orleans Saints, they come out last week on that Friday news dump, and all of a sudden Derek Carr might need surgery. His availability is in question. It's the NFC South. That's the Saints with that problem now. Is this any more of an opportunity for the Buccaneers to take the NFC South? Is Atlanta, with Michael Penix in his first year, going to be a rookie quarterback? Is Carolina going to take that much of a jump? But, Sage, with the news that it looks like they might be looking for a quarterback now with the Saints, they've been in disarray. What do you think this does in the mindset with the Buccaneers?
I got the perfect answer for this, Lee. In the short term, it hurts the Saints because they ain't got nobody behind Carr. Spencer Rattler and some guy that's never thrown a pass. I forgot the guy's name. So that hurts them because until last year, Carr was very durable. Very, very durable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Winston couldn't get into a freaking game behind him. But in the long run, I don't like it from a Buck perspective because you know what? Now
they're going to draft a quarterback.
They're going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And if they stuck with Carr long term, it pays off for the Bucks. And now if they were waffling on taking a quarterback, they can't waffle. They got to take one.
It's a bad quarterback draft.
Maybe they can get Sanders.
Yeah,
maybe they can get Sanders.
It's a bad quarterback draft, so I'm not sure they're going to panic. I hope so. Let's put it this way. It's hard for me to shed a tear over the slimy scenes. So
they got a new coach. They got a new coach.
They're still the slimy scenes.
Yeah,
I can't get too broken up about it. I mean, Carr's a good dude. If you go back way back in the archives at joebucksand.com, I actually talked to Carr at his combine.
Seems like
and I was very impressed with him back then. I said, I don't know if this guy's going to be a quarterback.
Yeah, he's been a very competent quarterback. He's competent.
Competent. Yeah. Just a first-class individual. First class. Real quick about the Saints and quarterbacks. If there's any area the Bucs need to worry about, it's panics. And if the Saints get a quarterback, and of course, Bryce Young looks like he's been resurrected. Because the Bucs still have a lousy pass defense unless they don't. What I mean by that is, unless they get a pass rush, unless their cornerbacks improve or their secondary improves, they're vulnerable to getting burned by a good quarterback.
But Lee, having said all that, they have the best quarterback in this division, and it's not
they
even
do.
Close.
They do. Yeah. And then again, you saw it with your own eyes. What did Kirk Cousins do? Your own eyes. You saw it up in Atlanta, Ira.
Hopefully, Haason Reddick can rectify some of that.
So I was listening to Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio driving over here, and he was with Sims, and he's like, boy, this shows you now that the Saints are going to do what they can. If they got to trade up, they're going to get Shedeur Sanders. If that, do you think that they would do that? And if that is the case,
it's costly to move up, Rock. Costly.
Does that scare you at all, Shedeur Sanders? How do you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to be solid quarterback. I think I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro, but he's going to be a solid quarterback. I really do.
Is he a better prospect than Anthony Richardson?
Oh, hell yeah. Richardson
was the fourth pick in the draft, Lee.
I will just repeat what an Uber driver told me in Indianapolis. The combine.
Lee's quoting an Uber driver in Indianapolis. I've never heard this on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
You know, I could swear. So I say this a lot to a lot of people.
You told him, take me to Shapiro's Deli, and what'd the guy tell you?
No, I was actually going to where all the coaches hang out. And so I jump an Uber, and he kind of asked, are you in town for the combine? Yeah. And what do you do? And I told him. He's like, okay, please don't tell me the Colts are going to draft Anthony Richardson.
Oh, my God.
And Anthony Richardson, if someone's really bored and they're like me and they can't stand golf, so you got time on a Sunday, go pull it up on YouTube, Florida versus Florida State, Richardson's last regular season game. That ball game was there to be had for the Gators, and this franchise quarterback couldn't do spit in the fourth quarter. It wasn't like Florida State was the old Derrick Brooks Florida State teams. And he couldn't do a dang thing in the fourth quarter. He was terrible. And this is supposed to be a fourth pick in the draft?
Rock, that's what happens when you're desperate for a quarterback.
True.
You make mistakes.
True, true. And Sims and Florio said the same thing, especially Florio. When you are desperate, that is a position you don't want to be. And I think that's where the Saints are right now.
Now, the year after this is supposed to be better
right. For
quarterbacks.
Right, exactly, exactly. Hey, little bit of fun here, guys, on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Jameis Winston.
Oh, one of my favorite topics.
Going to the Giants. And then, of course, the Giants make a move right after that. Does Jameis have a chance? Is he done? Is he what do you think? And here's a guy from Alabama, Southern. He's going to New York, maybe Jersey. What do the Giants have? What do you think, Sage?
I think it's a very smart move for Winston from this aspect, Lee. Visibility in the biggest media market in the world.
And why?
Because he's already planning for his next career.
Bingo.
And he's doing a good job of it.
Yeah, bingo. You said it right there.
I don't think his mind's on football. I just don't.
May be. You know, Jameis, what we're seeing, that's been him forever. That's just Jameis. But having said that, and you guys know I was always pro Jameis. When the stuff he did for Fox Super Bowl, it was fun. It was entertaining. But if I'm an NFL guy, like, do I want that on my team?
He was Mr. New Orleans, right, Rock? Mr. New Orleans.
When Fox did there, it was so funny, Sage. Every year, to tell our Ira Kaufman podcast listeners, the network that has the game, this year it was Fox. Year before, it was CBS. They have a day where they have the press conference. It's the most heavily attended press conference other than the act, the music act. And they come out, Fox, they, all the glitz and glamour, and they're all up there, and Howie and Bradshaw and all
everybody's
them.
At their own table.
And then they, well, they bring them out on the stage, Aaron Andrews, everybody, and Fox, and da-da-da-da. Then they go to separate areas with their name, and everybody's buzzing. Tom Brady, everybody wants to talk to Brady. Brady, I know the guy that's with Fox in Vegas, the sports director there, and they wanted to ask him. Because a guy that did cover him told me that Brady is running the show with Spytek. He's making the shots, but he has no office, no phone, no. They don't want. You'll never see a picture of him there because they don't want to make it
is
look
he
like.
Living there?
No, 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 no. He's at home. He's at. He's doing all this. He does everything on the phone and Zoom. Yeah, they don't want to make it look like a Fox. But my point was, all of a sudden they make the announcement. Tom Brady will not be here. And the game day crew, they had a scheduling conflict. They just didn't want Brady to deal with the media. But
and they know they knew he was going to dominate, and nobody was going to show up at other people's tables.
So Jameis came over, and Jameis was right next to me. I was there for Kurt Menefee, and he looked at me, and I'm like, okay, go ahead. And he started going, how can you help me, Kurt? Let's listen to your voice. I'm trying to make it in this business. What's the advice you can? What's the advice you can give me? And I let him do all his thing. They were shooting, and then he gave me the thing. I said, you got it, Jameis, this and that.
Maybe he wants
you
to be the next Stephen A. Smith.
But you know
he
what?
He could be running for president.
Lee is
in a few
right.
Years,
it's kind of it's a little bit sticky, and that can sometimes like. That's hard to continue that, you know, what he's doing, Jameis. So maybe we'll see.
Lee, can he make a stir if he's a backup quarterback with the Giants?
Oh, yeah. What I started to say earlier is one thing NFL teams can't stand, it's a circus over a backup, specifically a backup quarterback. Tim Tebow, they didn't want to deal with the circus. Jameis is a circus. They don't want to deal with that. They're just NFL's that conservative. I will say this. You're talking about being the next Stephen A. Smith. Here is the perfect gig for Jameis. And this is sort of up your alley, Rock. WWE.
Oh.
Tell me that's not perfect for Jameis. With his shtick, he could be the next Ric Flair.
He's right. He is right about that.
The guy did some things in Tampa. He did some things.
Oh, no.
Two for 5,000.
Yeah, it was all the picks. That's what Bruce said.
Rock, the picks. The guy was like 28, healthy, didn't really have an injury where he missed the whole season or something. And nobody wanted him. And nobody would let him compete for a starting job. I'd never seen anything like that.
No, they don't let coaches hate turnovers, man. They just they
don't
can't.
Say that to Lee.
No, they do. They do. Lee is right. And one final question I'm going to ask you about at 19 now. But one final thing what Lee was talking about. At the time, I was doing a show with Booger McFarlane. Booger McFarlane's friend was Corey. He was a little DB with the Bucks, and he was on the Jets staff. He was there. Mark Sanchez was a starter. Tebow was the backup. On Wednesday, when it was time for the quarterback to talk, they didn't do a podium. They would go over to Mark Sanchez's locker, all the New York media. They would be over there talking to Sanchez, and this I heard the phone call. He was talking Booger, and he goes, and then Tebow walks in, and it would be like a wave, everybody going over to Tebow's locker.
Shame he's on the Jets for not putting Sanchez on a podium.
He's the backup. You're right. They do not like that.
Oh. They don't like the circus for the backups. That was Tim Tebow, and to a lesser degree, it's Jameis.
Let's end on this. We're here at the draft now. We're here.
You don't have to worry about Kyle Trask making a scene like that.
No, I know. I know that. I know that. 19. You got Hassan Reddick. You got Yaya Diaby. You talked last week on your podcast about hoping maybe Braswell, but he hadn't done stats-wise. You're right. He hadn't done much, but okay. Do they still, if an edge, one of the top edges, is there at 19, Sage, do Jason Light pull the trigger and go with an edge at this point?
I hate to steal Lee's thunder, but I'm with Lee DeKemper on this. Can't have enough of them. We don't know about Braswell. We know nothing. Reddick coming off a lost season. A wash, according to Todd Bowles. A wash. You never want to come off a wash,
no.
Lee. And he wasn't hurt.
No.
It wasn't an injury. We don't know what we're going to get out of Reddick. I hope he recaptures his form, Lee, for a four-year form. Not a one-year form, a four-year form. Lee, wouldn't bother me at all if they get another pass rusher.
Edge rushers, when they hit 30 or 31, that's pretty much their wall, unless they're all-timers, like Myles Garrett or Reggie White. If they're all-timers, they go to mid-30s, sometimes later.
Maybe
Von Miller.
Maybe that's why Joey Bosa was available and moved on. He might have been at that
age.
Yeah,
I think he was 30.
And I'm not putting any I'm not looking for Shaq Barrett to do anything. Lee, that's a pipe dream.
That's a pipe dream.
That's a pipe dream.
But what I'm getting at is we don't know if Reddick is going to be around in 2026. If he blows up, you don't think he's going to go for the biggest checkbook?
Sure he will.
Yeah,
sure
he will.
Sure he will.
And if he stinks, the Bucks are going to walk away. In addition to that, rarely do rookie edge rushers make an impact, unless their name's Bosa. So I would be okay. You draft an edge rusher at 19 with the full realization he's not going to do anything as a rookie, but he'll
but
get his feet wet.
You work
exactly.
Him
he'll get, his, right. feet
get
wet.
His feet wet.
Maybe he'll get more snaps if Reddick stinks, and we go from there. That way he'll be ready to rock and roll in 2026.
You got your eye on anybody?
No one in particular, although I keep hearing up ESPN. Jordan Reed said there are two players he constantly hears within NFL circles connected to the Bucs.
Jihad Campbell. Okay.
And the other, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name. First name's Donovan, edge rusher, Boston College.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Real quick about Braswell. You know, I'm not going to rag on the guy. He's a rookie.
I'm not giving up on him.
Yeah, as I just said, rarely do rookie edge rushers have any kind of impact, but 1.5 sacks. That he was a healthy scratch in the playoffs.
He wasn't playing much at the end of the
season. He was a healthy scratch. That's like red flag city right there.
However, the general manager, Rock, says he's going to shock the world. What is he, Muhammad Ali? Going to shock the world? What's going on
here? Hey, there you go. Speaking of general managers, Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford is the best. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket. Just ask for Sean. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Whether it's service, mobile service, at your home, body work, used vehicles, leases, more, just go to BillCurryFord.com. And also, if God forbid something happens to your home, the first call that you make, and that would be to Florida's Elite Restoration. That's Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, we always leave with a parting message for Buccaneer fans. What do you got for him, Sage?
All right, I got 2 points to make. One, we're going to be back later in the week with another podcast. And two, Rock, I've got a couple of days, and I'm not very technically proficient, so I might need your services, Rock. I'm going to put a disc together of McIlroy's best shots from the final round of the Masters, and I'm going to gift wrap it and send it to the Kemper.